It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
If you are a passionate fan of self-checkout machines, raise your hand. I'm David Brancaccio. First, the United Auto Workers Union has reached a tentative deal with Stellantis. That's the Jeep, Ram, Dodge, Chrysler people based in Europe. The deal is said to be similar to the union's earlier agreement with Ford, but no deal with GM. And the union is widening its strike against that automaker. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here with more.
Yeah, David, a lot of moving parts to this story. GM and the UAW are still talking. The union did not explain the reason why it expanded its strike against GM, but it did ask thousands of workers at a plant in Spring Hill, Tennessee, to walk off their jobs. This is an important plant for GM. It makes engines for a number of its vehicles, including Silverado pickups, which is a very important profit leader for the company. The GM move came just hours after the union announced a deal with Stellantis. The union's leadership also approved the tentative deal reached last week with Ford. Now, that deal now goes to the rank and file for a ratification vote.
Do we know what's in this tentative Stellantis contract?
Well, it appears to be similar to the deal reached with Ford. Big pay hikes for workers, especially for temps, ending tiered wage systems. An aspect of the Stellantis deal that the union highlighted was that it will add jobs. The union said Stellantis wanted to cut 5,000 workers. Now those jobs will be preserved and 5,000 more added. And a notable element of that, David, Stellantis will restart a plant it had idled in February. That plant is in Belvidere, Illinois. Now Stellantis will expand operations there.
All right, Nova, thank you. The leader of the company formerly known as Twitter wants X to become more than a short message sharing system and a vehicle for advertising. In a speech to employees, as reported by the publication The Verge, Elon Musk wants to make X a PayPal, a Venmo, a Bank of America, and who knows, maybe even a Fidelity Investments. And he wants all of this to happen within a year. In audio obtained by The Verge, Musk says, "When I say payments, I actually mean someone's entire financial life." There are photos you can find of Musk from 1999 posing in front of a big X.com 23 years before it was used to rebrand Twitter. Now, that was Musk's online FDIC-insured bank that, through mergers, became PayPal. This is it. Our May fundraiser is ending on Friday, and it's your last chance to help us reach our goal this month. Revenue sources for newsrooms like ours are changing, and donations from you, our Marketplace community of listeners, are more important than ever. Help us reach our May goal before Memorial Day weekend and fund public service journalism for all. Give now at marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI?
I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Now a moment of tension and catharsis about what is for many a daily irritation, self-checkout machines. Maybe you adore them, but I venture some of you don't. They're the subject of a new piece in The Atlantic magazine written by Amanda Mull. Amanda, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. We've had these gizmos, I don't know, it seems like almost a quarter century now. What was the selling point originally back then?
Well, the selling point has always varied a little bit depending on whether you're a shopper or you're a retailer. The selling point that retailers told consumers about was that they are a marvel of efficiency. You will grab and go and be done with your errands in record time. But the way that they were sold to retailers by the vendors that build them, it was a promise of labor savings. So basically, one person overseeing a corral of 10 self-checkout kiosks is a lot cheaper than 10 people ringing 10 registers on 10 lines.
I look at these things, and besides seeing them as costing human jobs, I see them as like your worst social studies teacher in middle school, devices that are super judgmental. Please place your item in the bagging area. I have already placed my item in the bagging. You know, that kind of situation. They can be extraordinarily unpleasant from the customer point of view.
They make you feel like you're under surveillance, first and foremost. Even if you're trying to genuinely pay for everything that you have brought to the register, they make all kinds of noises. They have flashing lights when you put something down in the wrong spot or when it weighs a different amount than the register was expecting it to weigh through no fault of your own. And it's like a really good reminder that a lot of this stuff was sort of always happening in these transactions, but an employee was doing it.
A lot has been made of supposedly rising levels of theft in stores across the country, although we find that concrete data to back up that trend is a little hard to come by. But you take some time to explore the relationship between using machines to check out and theft in stores. What did you find?
Yes, this is a really interesting point, I think, because as you said, there's no proof that there has been like a sudden, recent, catastrophic rise in shoplifting. The data, it just is not there to suggest that that's true. But what is true is that in the decades that we've adopted these self-checkout machines in more and more applications, these machines come with an ingrained amount of theft that they create that wouldn't be there otherwise. And retailers have always been aware of this. And you get that because, like, there's just nobody watching a lot of times. Like, there's one harried employee running around trying to solve the errors in everybody's transactions, but there's nobody just sort of, like, minding the store.
So where are we in 2023? You say some retailers rethinking these, easing some of them out?
So what you see is retailers adding more employees to the self-checkout area, which takes some of the self out of self-checkout. Walmart and Costco in particular have decided to staff those areas more consistently and have been promising customers that if you're at self-checkout and you want an employee to check out all of your groceries for you, then an employee will do that for you. You don't have to do it yourself, even if you're at one of those kiosks. So you've got bigger retailers, especially where people buy lots and lots of stuff in a single purchase more commonly, are just trying to find a way to sort of reverse engineer more customer service back into the checkout process because they're losing more money on this in a lot of cases than they're saving by cutting labor.
Amanda Mull, staff writer at The Atlantic. Her new piece is called Self-Checkout is a Failed Experiment. Amanda, thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you, honored listener, could change one single thing about self-checkout devices, what would it be? Email me using morningreport@marketplace.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. And we're from APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.